Good morning, everyone. Coming to you from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm your host, landscape designer, horticulturist, and garden author. It's good to have you with us this morning. It's going to be a beautiful day today. We had a bus leave from the parking lot of the iHeart building, and they're going down on a mission trip to Clearwater. We wish them good luck and safe travels. What a way to volunteer. That's wonderful. And we have fall. The cooler temperatures are coming in. Sorta. And we're going to, it's joining us. We're seeing trees start to turn color. And it is beautiful out there today. So I hope you get out there and enjoy it. With us this morning producing the show is the fantastic Lizzie Steele. Good morning, Lizzie.
Good morning. I'm so excited about today because we have a special guest
in studio. This doesn't happen a lot, and, you know, he just checks all the boxes. We're very excited. He is joining us this morning from Ocean Springs, Mississippi. He is my friend and special guest, Dr. Gary Bachman from the Extension Research Department of Horticulture at the Coastal Research and Education Center, Mississippi State University. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Teresa. I am just so excited about being here, and I'm glad you guys are excited too.
Oh, we're so happy to see you. We had such a great time last time. You're here on a special trip. You're combining a lot of different things, so we'll be talking about
absolutely
that today. Yep. We're going to talk about some of your hurricane experiences, but I'm very excited to talk about the Heritage Cottage Urban Nano Farm.
Yeah, that's the home base. That's where the magic happens.
And, you know, this is something that anyone can do, so we're going to be talking about that. And you are the host of the award-winning Mississippi State University Extension Service Southern Gardening TV. I love watching you.
Do you really?
I do.
We have a lot of fun. I mean, we do the really polished TV, and then we do the keeping it real social media videos too.
So. You do, and you answer questions live on Facebook, and
right.
so that's a lot of fun. And so you can also find Gary's garden advice in newspaper articles and like on Twitter and Facebook. And so you're urban homesteaders, and you're prepping for the zombie apocalypse.
The zombie apocalypse.
There you go.
Absolutely. Everybody needs to be ready for the zombies.
I'm telling you. And you grow your own food.
Yep.
And so it's called Heritage Cottage Urban Nano Farm.
Right.
What is a nano farm?
A nano farm is a small farm. You know, really tiny farm.
Okay.
And we came up with that name when we were market growers. We were farmers market growers out of our backyard for 5 years, 52 weeks out of the year.
Wow.
And we have a total of 3,000 square feet in the backyard, and it is dedicated all to vegetable gardening. I'm an ornamental horticulturist.
Right.
But I do more speaking and promoting of home gardens than anything else.
So you were telling me, how many different peppers do you grow? Tony, you got to have a heads up on this.
That's right. This year I got a wild hare. And I grew 63 different varieties of peppers. Only three of them were bell type. Most of them were old genetics that I found, like from the Southwest, from Mexico. Eastern Europe has a rich history of pepper selection and if you want to say, creation.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. So now, these are all seeds that you planted.
Right.
And did you find them online or in stores?
Found all the seeds online.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of great seed sources out there, not just, you know, the major ones, but there's small seed houses that have specialty selections. And I bet I bought seeds from 15, 16 different seed houses.
So now, over the last 3 years, there's been a lot of people starting their own home gardening and
right.
growing their own food.
Right.
And I find that the bigger seed companies, they were running out of seeds. Now, did you find that? Or when do you order your seeds to plant for fall, and when do you order your seeds to plant for spring?
The last couple years, I would have already started ordering seeds for 2023 just to get ahead of it, because when we were in the pandemic full bore, everybody was home, they were gardening, and the industry wasn't ready.
Yeah.
They weren't geared up for that kind of demand. And that was 2020, 2021, even 2022. it's getting better.
Right.
But there's still, it takes time to produce the seed crops and, you know, and to have these all available.
And then they can go like in an instant. I mean, you know, somebody talks about something on the air or, you know, publicizes it in a TV article a newspaper article, then people buy it and it's gone.
Yep.
It's gone. So you suggest, you know, this is what I told a client yesterday, is for spring, you start looking in summertime and then buying them in the fall.
Yep.
And then in your springtime, you're looking and buying for fall.
Right. If you're going to be seriously growing, you know, a home vegetable garden, you need to be thinking, I think, three seasons ahead.
Wow. Okay.
Just to make sure that you have what you need for and planted when it needs to be planted.
Okay. So if you got them right away, so let's say, you know, you ordered them in the springtime and you're not going to plant them for, you know, two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Where would you keep them?
Now,
so that they're viable.
I keep all my seeds room temperature dry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big proponent of the refrigerator or freezer. I save seeds, and like with tomatoes, we're going to talk about tomatoes.
We are.
I save tomato seeds religiously, and every year I go back through my old seeds and plant some of my old ones, and I have viability with tomatoes up to 10 years.
Wow, that's incredible.
Right.
Well, we're also going to be taking your questions. We'd love to hear from you around the state, Miami, Sarasota, Brevard County, Daytona Beach, Jacksonville. You can call us at 1-888-455-2967 or text me and let me know what you're drinking this morning, 23680. I'm Teresa Watkins with Dr. Gary Bachman. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm so glad you're here with Lizzie and Gary and I. Dr. Gary Bachman is with us. You can text your gardening questions to 23680, and Gary will be happy to respond here. And just let us know you're out there. And we would love to hear from you if you're in the Miami area, Naples. We're just all thinking of everyone down in the southwest part of Florida. Gary, your hurricane experience, where... Mississippi got hit by Katrina, one of the most devastating hurricanes
right.
The states has had. What is your experience with hurricanes?
Well, to tell you the truth, I'm really kind of a hurricane newbie. I've only been in Mississippi for 15 years. We've had a couple come through South Mississippi. We had Zeta in 2020, an October storm,
knocked
power out, knocked a lot of trees down. That was really the worst one that we've had in the last 15 years.
Right.
Katrina was just devastation with the 25-foot storm surge that came in on the Mississippi coast.
Wow.
Lot of saltwater intrusion, a lot of trees down, you know, and of course, property damage and buildings. It was just awful. Still rebuilding after that.
Still real.
Along the coast.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Tony was wanting to know, because we talk a lot about who we're going to be having on and everything today, and Tony's got great questions. And so he was wondering, you know, is there anything such as a hurricane-proof landscape?
You know, that's a good question. I get that question, too,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we get into storm season, you know, plant selection. Really, in my opinion, no. You know, the storms are not every season.
Right.
You know, they're events. That happen. And, you know, the biggest thing is to, you know, plant appropriate plants for your yard. And if we do have a storm coming, what I like to tell everybody is take that walk around the house. Take pictures, see what it is before so you can see afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pick up all the projectiles that we all have laying around our yard.
Yes. Anything that's breakable.
Yeah. Put up and then...
Hope for the best.
Hope for the best.
Pray for the best.
Afterwards, then if there's damage to trees, damage to plants, ask extension, ask the experts, and we'll get you through it.
Right. Now, how long can you see symptoms of a hurricane in plants and in your landscape? Can you see it in the trees like a year later?
Oh yeah, you can see it years and years later, especially with the live oaks that we have along the Mississippi coast. You can see the damage up in the trees from storms in the past. Mm-hmm. I remember when I first came to the coast, I had a lady call me up and she says, "Dr. Bachman, my grass has not looked good since the storm." And I'm thinking Katrina, because this is like 2009.
Right.
And I'm thinking, why did you wait 4 years to call? She says, "No, it was Hurricane George's back in 1998.
She did wait a long time to
did
call.
Did wait a long time. But we see damage that starts and it's not remediated. And it just continues to get worse and worse and worse.
Right.
You know, so it's best if you've got that landscape damage, address it right away.
What I'm still seeing is, you know, in the middle of the medians of streets here in Central Florida, the trees are still leaning over.
Mm-hmm.
And those should have been uprighted the first week.
Right.
And get them going back into the ground, making sure there's no hollow spots in the where they're planted.
Right.
And get them straightened up, because then they'll recover.
Right.
But if you leave them leaning, they're just going to keep leaning and grow, and they're never going to be healthy again.
Right. And one of the things that we see with the big live oaks that we have on the coast, and it's here in Florida too, damage occurs way up in the top of the tree. You don't see it. And then the rot organisms get into the top and work their way all the way to the bottom. So we see these big live oaks that have hollow centers. And we think, well, how in the heck did that happen? Well, it probably happened, you know, 15 years ago with storm, whatever.
And it started, and it was susceptible to the organisms.
Right, the organisms could get into the wood, and they just work their way right down into the base of the tree.
Wow. Well, we're hoping everybody is doing well out there.
Absolutely.
Just keep checking on your landscape, and you know, contact your local extension office. You know, if you have a question, or you can give us a call 1-888-455-2967, or you can text us at 23680, and so. I'm going to get back to the Heritage Cottage Urban Nano Farm.
My favorite topic.
Yes, it is. And so you said you had like 3,000 square feet of vegetable gardening.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But you don't grow in the ground. So how do you grow your vegetables?
I'm a committed container grower. Okay. My background is nursery greenhouse production. I can grow anything in a pot. And One of the things that we learned when we first got to Mississippi was about earth boxes. Basically, a big window box. It's a sub-irrigated container. I am sold on it. We have 136 of them in our yard.
Wow. That's amazing. And how do you irrigate all those?
Everything's on drip irrigation. Mm-hmm. The house we bought had a turf irrigation system. I took all the turf heads out.
Mm-hmm.
And I have riser pipes, and I have half inch black poly pipe running all over my yard,
mm-hmm.
and it's all tied into my existing clock. So I've got it all zoned off, and using pressure compensated emitters, I know exactly how much water we're using. You know, water usage is critical.
It is.
I mean, in Florida, absolutely. Not so much in Mississippi, but I'm on city water, and that's expensive.
It is expensive.
And I can tell you every day how much water I'm putting onto my garden. And it's right now, it's about 55 gallons a day.
Wow.
For all of my growing.
All your growing. Now, so how often do you water your plants, the vegetables?
It depends on the season.
Okay.
An earth box has a 2 gallon reservoir in it. You plant two tomatoes, and we have to talk about planting tomatoes.
That's
a tomato story.
Yeah.
But a tomato plant in July will transpire a gallon of water per plant. So two tomato plants can drain a 2 gallon reservoir. So you have to water every day.
Yes.
So watering,
especially in raised beds.
Watering is just season and plant specific.
So let's talk about tomatoes. What's your favorite tomato to grow?
Great question. And this is going to horrify the listening audience, but I don't like fresh tomatoes.
You grow them?
Last year in my little garden, I grew 1,000 pounds of tomatoes.
Wow.
But I don't like fresh tomatoes.
So you donate it, or what do you do?
Well, we used to go to the market. We're ferocious canners. And Leah Brooks, we are now dehydrators of tomatoes, and we make ground-up tomatoes now. So thank you, Leah, for that tip.
That's wonderful, Leah.
And but all the extras are donated to our neighbors. We have, if you're familiar with Krispy Kreme donuts.
Yes.
if the hot sign is lit,
yes,
you know, that's the time to go in for those fresh donuts.
Exactly.
We have a sign that we put out that there's fresh veggies, and we just put a table out in front of the house. And when the when the neighbors see that sign is out,
they
come down, and it's tomatoes or greens or peppers or whatever we have extra.
Oh, I bet you have people lining up around just waiting.
People want to move into our neighborhood, Lizzie. Seriously.
Oh, I believe
so
they can be my neighbor. What's your address again? Give it to me off air. I'll be there.
There's one house available right now.
I'm on it.
I'll text you afterwards.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
Shrek, you're moving. So tell us your favorite tomato story.
Okay, favorite tomato story. When I first got the Earth boxes, they have directions on planting suggestions.
Yes.
And being a typical guy, I usually don't read these directions.
Right.
But I read these, and it said, don't plant more than two tomatoes in an Earth box. And I didn't understand why. And besides, I have a PhD from The Ohio State University in horticulture. They're not telling me how many tomatoes I can grow. So what did I do? I put eight.
Oh, my goodness.
It didn't work out well. I only plant one. Sometimes I plant two now. So
I
learned my lesson.
Okay. And so do you like to use heirloom seeds or the newer varieties? Or do you,
Now I do heirlooms and I do some of the hybrids. When we were market growers, I grew strictly heirlooms. And that was just a marketing. Mm-hmm. That was the niche that we wanted. So I grew all heirlooms. And heirlooms are very regionally specific, too.
Right.
And so we've grown and trialed over 100 heirloom tomato varieties, looking for tomatoes that would do well hot and humid, and with a spring and with a fall season. I don't grow July and August.
Right.
The tomatoes aren't in the ground because it's too hot. They don't set fruit.
They don't.
Right.
And so real quickly for people who are new to gardening, what's the difference between just regular gardening and organic gardening for vegetables?
Oh, that is such a loaded question.
Yes, it is.
It's listen. Listen, it's a mindset. I am not an organic grower, but I'm a responsible grower. So that means only the inputs that you need to use, but not necessarily. I'm not against using products strictly if they're organic or non-organic.
Right. And so I just do it common sense. If everything that's on the market where gardeners can buy, if it's used according to the instructions.
Absolutely.
And only as necessary.
Absolutely.
It is safe to use.
Absolutely. And you have to be willing to accept some damage. And I have, if you want to think about integrated pest management, IPM, is all based on acceptable levels of damage.
You know you're going to have insects.
Right, right. And I accept, yes. Is every tomato going to get harvested? No. Is every tomato going to be immaculate? Heck no. But that's, I realize that. I don't have to have that perfect tomato.
And we were talking a little bit earlier, chatting, and about the yellow leaves that everybody's seeing in their landscape now from, either stress and the storms. But you also said it could be from just being October.
I'm telling you, if, yellow leaves, middle of October, I'm kind of thinking it's kind of the fall of the year. It calls for patience. There's no magic bloom juice. There's no magic green-up juice that you can put on these plants. I mean, I know it sounds very scientific to say that.
Yes.
But that's what people expect. And they're really so sometimes you have to talk the homeowner off the ledge, and bring them back and say it's okay.
It's okay.
And if those yellow leaves, if they're driving you crazy,
pull them off.
It'll be fine.
You're listening to my special guest, Dr. Gary Bachman. He's from the Coastal Research and Extension Center in Mississippi State University, and he's the award-winning author of Southern Gardening All Year Round. Gary's going to be with us this morning, so if you have a question, you can give us a call. Let's take a break right now. I'm Teresa Watkins from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a horticulturist, landscape designer, and garden author. Back for a return visit to Florida. Joining me is Dr. Gary Bachman. He's the Extension Research Professor of Horticulture at the Coastal Research and Extension Center at Mississippi State University. He's also the award-winning author of Southern Gardening All Year Round, a fantastic book. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and local bookstores, Gary.
Absolutely. Now, local bookstores in Mississippi. I haven't broken into the Florida market yet.
Okay, but they can contact you, and you're on Facebook.
Right. The easiest way is to send me a Facebook message, and then I'll get back to you with the details.
There you go. Yep. And we have Dr. Gary Bachman's Facebook page on Better Lawns and Gardens. You can go to the page, and you can see his link to his Facebook page there. If you have a gardening question, you can call us at 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. And we have some great text messages coming up. And so, Gary, you're on a you're going to be meeting with different Master Gardener groups, but you are also the keynote speaker.
Yes.
At the University of Florida IFAS Master Gardener Conference this next week. I'm so excited. I'm going to be there.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I love speaking to the Master Gardeners. I mean, because everybody, they're there to get good tidbits. And whenever I meet with Master Gardeners, I get good tidbits from them because I'm always learning, you know, how everybody else is gardening.
And somebody might have a different experience. Yep. and find a solution to something.
Yep, absolutely.
So what kind of tidbits are you, what are you going to be talking about?
Well, I'm going to be talking, well, we're talking about the urban nano farm, my home garden. I'm going to be talking about the modern victory garden, mm-hmm. kind of our experiences coming out of the pandemic and this big new push for trying to grow some of our own food.
Right.
So we're going to look at the kind of the history of the Victory Garden, and then I'm going to take you into my backyard, and I'm just going to show people what I grow, what I can grow. And it's not going to be, this is the way you must grow, because my backyard is an absolute circus. But here's some tips on what you can grow, how you can grow it, and maybe some crops that you hadn't thought about growing.
I think you have a little bit of gravitas with 1,000 pounds of tomatoes, I think.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit there. So let's go to Deanne, and let's see her. What she is asking is, she says, love your show. Thank you, Deanne, for listening. She is in Tallahassee. She says, thank you for the great advice. We just put in beautiful turf over our whole backyard, but soon discovered it's about half grass and half dove weed. I'm so disappointed. Any advice for weed and feed this fall? And she said, thank you.
Yeah, weed and feed this fall. First of all, Deanne, I don't recommend using weed and feed. I'm if you're going to feed the grass, feed the grass. If you're going to kill the weeds, kill the weeds.
Yes.
But with the dove weed, you know, Teresa and I were discussing it at the break. You know, you're really looking at, it's got to be a wet situation.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, you know, what variety of grass do you have and what's your mowing height? You could be mowing it too short and then giving the dove weed that opportunity to flourish.
And then also, too, it depends on how long. She just said she just, you know, put in beautiful turf. Did she sod? And then how long ago was it?
Right.
Is she still watering it every day? That's a big myth about watering lawns. What do you recommend?
Basically, an established lawn is, you know, 1 inch per week. But I will tell you, Teresa, I have my bachelor's is in turf grass. I don't water my lawn at all.
I recommend the same thing. Water as least as Mother Nature is going to push those roots down. Mm-hmm. And if you're watering like every day or every couple of days, you're growing hydroponically. You're forcing the turf to need that grass. And it's going to look bad when you stop watering.
Yep.
So get through that phase and let it look bad for a little while, but it's going to recover.
Absolutely.
Especially when we have these cooler periods coming up.
Yep.
This is a great time of the year to be weaning your grass, your turf, mm-hmm. off of irrigation. Because it's expensive.
It absolutely is. And most of our irrigation, you know, wherever you're at, is city water. And so, you're paying for that, and you're paying for it to supposedly go down the sewer, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, okay, so our next text, so Deanne, if you can text us back and let us know what kind of turf you have and how often you're mowing it and how long has it been in, okay, and maybe how often you're watering it, okay? So we'll need to know that to give you a better answer. So we have from Mount Dora, what would be a hardy hummingbird plant to put in a pot, Gary?
Oh, boy. Now, if it was me with a container for a hummingbird, pardon me, I'm all about salvias for hummingbirds.
Yes, salvias.
They've got that great tubular flower that the hummingbirds like. The flowers are all arranged in different levels, so the hummingbird
can go up and down,
down. And hummingbirds like to hover like that and go to individual flowers. I like that, or maybe one of the smaller lantanas.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I love lantanas too in a pot for hummingbirds.
And that kind of gives you that height and then the depth, those thrillers, fillers, and spillers that you want to see in containers. I also like firecracker plants that hang over. Those are wonderful. They're very tubular and very easy to grow in a container.
Yeah.
And so hummingbirds don't really come after the smell. They come after the colors, but it's the tubular flowers.
It's that tubular
flower. They recognize
it.
Okay, so Deanne texted back. That's wonderful. She said, we did sod, but I'm new to Florida, and I didn't ask what type it was. The backyard we bought was all sandy, so we watered with our sprinkler system every day till it rooted in. It's been in about 4 months. What would you say?
Oh, boy. I'll tell you, right now, yeah, you've got the dove weed there. It's already set seed, so, I'm going to be of the opinion that you almost want to first figure out what kind of grass you have so you cut it at the right height.
And also, too, that if you're going to use an herbicide, you put the right one on.
Put the right one on. But I wouldn't, Teresa, even, post-emerge that dove weed now. I'd wait till spring and start after it, beginning of the year, grass at the right height, the right pre-emerge, the right post-emerge. And Deanne, you can tackle this.
You can. It may take a couple of seasons, but dove weed's green, so kind of enjoy it with the wind.
I have dove weed in my yard, and it's like, yeah, it's green, Teresa, so I'm actually pretty good with it. So.
There you go. Yeah. We're going to be back with more of Dr. Gary Bachman's advice and Southern gardening all year round. And you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. We have joining us this morning Dr. Gary Bachman from the Mississippi State University, author of Southern Gardening All Year Round and Southern Gardening TV. You can find him on Facebook and on the Mississippi State University website. And Gary, we have some banana questions. You up for bananas?
Oh, yeah. Let's do it.
Okay. So I lost my banana tree. It broke right in half by Hurricane Ian. What should I do?
Oh, boy. What I would do, I would be patient. You don't want to go ahead and cut it down, and prune it back, because what you'll do is you'll expose the crown of that to even possibly more damage. Yeah, that broken trunk, if we're going to call it a trunk,
right,
may start to get a little mushy, but that's going to protect that plant, and so it will come back next year.
It'll
push new growth.
And usually bananas need two seasons, because I have another question. April in Tallahassee. Good morning, April. Thank you so much for texting. I have 2.5 years of banana plants growing alongside my driveway. They produce bananas that often don't mature before the cold. Am I supposed to cut off the flowers after they begin forming? Also, am I supposed to cut down the entire plant before a freeze? They were awful looking and really slimy after the freeze last year.
That, again, Here's a case, April, for patience. That slimy stem is going to be protection for the crown of that plant, especially after a cold snap.
Mm-hmm.
You're in Tallahassee. I live in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. We're pretty comparable temperature-wise And it's common after a freeze for our banana plants to get all slimy and kind of go mushy on us.
They recover the following spring.
Right.
And so what would you say fertilizing? Because she's saying her bananas aren't producing after 2.5 years.
To tell you the truth, I would just be willing to bet that it's environmental. It's just a temperature effect. It's just not warm enough long enough. Every once in a while in Mississippi, especially up south of Jackson, where we have some banana trials, but every 3 or 4 years we'll get fruit because we had an extended warmer period or a milder winter,
right?
Milder environment.
So what zone are you in Mississippi?
I'm in zone 9A.
9A. And so that's equivalent to like here in Ocala, you know, Orlando area, some parts of Orlando, 9A,
right.
And then the rest down 9B down to a little bit Polk County area there. Would you suggest people in Tallahassee grow bananas?
Oh, absolutely. You know, necessarily to get fruit. I think if you were to do some investigation, that there are banana varieties, and don't ask me the names, but I know that there are banana selections that don't need the long maturation period. They make little smaller bananas.
The fingerlings, ladyfinger bananas.
And they're full of seeds and things, but you get bananas that way. You know, you're not going to get the yellow ones that we see in the grocery store.
That are very long. No, those come from Hawaii and down in South America.
Right. But you know, grow bananas because they're gorgeous plants.
They are.
You know, there's black tie and there's reds, you know, and they're just beautiful in the landscape.
I love the Java ones, the blue bananas.
Oh, yes.
Oh, they taste just like ice cream, vanilla ice cream.
I have never tasted those. I've seen those.
Oh, yes. They're very good.
Oh, my.
So we got a pepper question for you. How often should I use the liquid fertilizer on her peppers? How long's the gestation period?
If you're going to use the liquid feed on the peppers, you know, you could do once a month, once every 3 weeks. I wouldn't liquid feed every week.
Right.
You're just gonna the plant will just grow a lot of plant. You'll still get peppers, but I think you're wasting fertilizer, and you don't need that much fertilizer.
How are you about slow release fertilizer on vegetables?
Oh, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Love slow release.
Right.
You know, basically, let me tell you, Teresa, I will use any fertilizer I happen to have on my...
your plants. Because you've got a lot of 136 boxes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just whatever I have in the past on some of my ornamental peppers. I had some turf builder without herbicides.
Yeah.
I needed some nutrition.
Sure.
And so I used that. I didn't use that on any edible crops.
I try and tell my listeners, and when I do talks, that you really don't buy fertilizer by the name. I mean, rose fertilizer, you know, azalea fertilizer, you know, turf fertilizer. Plants can't read.
No, that's right.
So they know what you're putting on them, and that's going to tell them what to do.
Yeah.
So they got to read the labels.
Got to read the label, and you don't have to necessarily go strictly by the analysis.
Right.
I've used a 30-0-10 analysis liquid feed on my tomatoes. Yeah, that 30% nitrogen is a little high, so I only used a half a rate.
Yeah.
And I had
diluted it.
I diluted it, and I had enough nitrogen that I needed. So yeah, so it's label reading, and that's the more important part. The other part is all marketing.
It is all marketing.
Yeah.
And so, how long is the gestation period for peppers? Depends on the variety, right?
Depends on the variety. I start mine from seed about 6 weeks later. They're in my earth boxes. And I really don't start getting peppers until after 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking 60, 90 days.
Right.
For a lot of the pepper varieties.
And so we're still buying peppers now. They're still available as transplants.
Sure.
And so, you know, we wouldn't want to be starting seeds of peppers now.
Right. Seeds of peppers... I would say wait till after first of the year so you can look at that kind of that end of February, middle of March planting date for here in Central Florida.
Exactly. That's great. And so how would somebody get your book, Southern Gardening All Year Round?
The easiest way, you can find it on Amazon. You can also go to the University Press of Mississippi website, or even easier, if you want a signed copy, contact me through my Facebook page. Teresa has it linked on the Better Lawns and Gardens.
Mm-hmm.
And we can work out the details for
that. Yeah, just follow you. And you give great advice. How often do they see these videos where you answer questions when you do live video?
Oh, the live videos, they ask me anything. That's a once a month that my social media specialist, Ellen, and I do. And it's wide open for an hour. And it's all messages that are questions that are texted in or put in the comments of our live stream.
Uh-huh. What is the most unique, weird gardening question you've ever been asked?
Really? Why do boxwoods smell like cat pee? Sorry, I apologize. But
do they?
I don't think that's the exact smell, but I think boxwoods do. They're kind of
stinky.
They're kind of stinky, yeah.
Yeah. But the why is, you know, boxwoods, you know, is that a repellent for, you know, deer or something eating them?
Tell you the truth, I really don't know.
Oh,
because I've seen deer eat boxwoods. You know, I don't know if it is a repellent. I just think it's just.
Yep, it just is Mother Nature.
Yep,
just is.
Yep.
All right, and so one quick question about the Urban Nano.
Okay.
Heritage Cottage Urban Nano Farm. What is your favorite vegetable to eat?
My favorite vegetable to eat. I love peppers. I also love like kale. I love collards. I love all the winter greens. So that's what we're gonna be growing this winter,
mm-hmm.
and love all that stuff.
And so you grow all through the winter.
Yep.
So
yep.
We can grow all our own food year round. Yep. Here in Florida. We literally have two growing seasons.
Absolutely. And what I like to tell the home gardener is you can't replace the grocery store from your garden, but you can supplement what your family is eating. And it's more psychological than it is economic, because you're eating something that you grew that is good for you. You know how it was grown, and it's fresh. You know, it's 5 minutes old.
Wow.
Versus, you know, days and days old.
Right. And it tastes delicious.
It tastes delicious.
You eat right out of the garden?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's one of the benefits.
Except tomatoes.
I want to thank my special guest, Dr. Gary Bogman. He is the Extension Research Professor of Horticulture at the Coastal Research and Extension Center in Mississippi State University. He's also the award-winning author of Southern Gardening All Year Round. He's going to be with us in the next hour. We would love to get your phone calls for him or for me or for Lizzie. Lizzie, we'll just keep her busy.
That's 1-888-455-2967.
Or you can text us at 23680. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. We have great studios here, don't we, Gary?
Oh, these are fabulous studios.
Aren't they?
Yes,
we also
they
have
are.
Amazing listeners, especially whenever they text us in. They text in their name, their location, that's very helpful.
We have to have that to mm-hmm. give us the right answer.
And then a brief question about what it is that they're wanting answers. So just wait, Gary. I'm telling you, they're all coming. Usually they wake up about 8 o'clock, and then it's like, yes, they're
there
on.
There you go. But, you know, I want to just thank all of our listeners. Lizzie, they listen in Canada. I just met someone last week that said, we listened to you all summer long up in Canada. I was so excited
That's
about
great.
That. Isn't it?
Yes.
So I'm Teresa Watkins. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.